December 21st, 2017. Merry Christmas to everyone out there in our audience. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We've got Joel Skousen on today. Roger Stone joins us in the second hour with Pastor Mark Burns. But first, here is a video put together by Millie Weaver. 'Twas the night before Trump's tax bill.
One, two, three, go.
You're watching
InfoWars.com. You got the little vegan elves and it's all elves.
You're watching the InfoWars Spectacular. One, two, three. You're watching the InfoWars Spectacular.
The Tiger Marathon Special.
One, two, three.
Here you go.
You're watching the InfoWars Spectacular Extravaganza.
Woo! Yay! Woo!
I forgot Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
One, two, three. You're watching the InfoWars Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. Woo!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas to everyone. And in honor of this wonderful Christmas, where we have the Trump family in the White House, I decided to make my own rendition of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, instead calling it 'Twas the Night Before a Trump Christmas. All right. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the White House, not a swamp creature was stirring, not even the Obama holdovers. Hillary's indictment was hung by the chimney with care in hopes that a new FBI director would soon be there. The people were all nestled snug in their beds while visions of tax cuts danced in their heads. And Melania in her nightgown and Trump in his cap, who had just signed the tax bill, giving Americans a new gift to unwrap. When out on the lawn rose such a clatter, Trump sprang from his bed to see what was the matter. When what to his wondering eye should appear but an old lady in a pantsuit and an EMT gurney and 8 fake news journalists with gear. He knew in a moment 'twas Hillary Clinton as she called out to the mainstream media in wild hysteria. Now NBC, now CNN, now Washington Post and the Times. Lie away with fake news Russian dossiers. Tell Mueller at once. So to the top of the White House they flew, and down the chimney came Hillary Clinton and crew. She went right for the indictment, hoping it would be destroyed that night. The fake news media, with their heads down in shame, knew they had been partially busted. The fake news media, with their heads down in shame, knew they were busted and partially to blame. Off to jail they all went as Trump yelled, "Lock her up, lock her up, lock her up," and to all a good night. Merry Christmas to you from me, Millennial Millie, and the InfoWars crew.
That's right. Merry Christmas to you and everybody out there. We thank you for all your support during our 34-hour Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza and your continued support on our website, InfoWarsStore.com. We've still got great specials going on there, so be sure to get to InfoWarsStore.com now. I just did a bunch of my Christmas shopping. I literally have a box that I am taking back home with me of InfoWars products for my family and friends. So get your Christmas shopping done. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. And Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas to you out there and all of your loved ones. When we come back, we lay out the news and we talk about what to expect for the next 3 hours of the War Room.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Don't you tread on me. Don't
December 21st, 2017. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Troyer. Merry Christmas to you, and welcome into today's broadcast. Honestly, it's kind of a light news day. If you take a look at my desk here, I've got very small stacks of news, not the normal piles of news that we try to cram into the 3 hours of this broadcast. However, obviously, the big news that just continues to be big, it's not over yet to celebrate the tax cuts. This is still the big news. Now, it is interesting. It looks like they're not actually going. It looks like Donald Trump is not actually going to sign this bill until after New Year's. That is what all indications are, at least from what I've been reading into it and from what's been coming out of the White House. So we'll probably see another celebratory moment like we saw on the Hill with all of the congressmen and women that were responsible for that tax bill and that tax cut celebrating it. This time he may do it from the White House with the famous presser moment where he signs the bill with his famous signature and then it is enacted. So we'll continue to celebrate the tax cuts, but we also wait for the signature from Donald Trump's pen to make it official. Now, there is some news here. You have another situation with a North Korean soldier running across the border through the DMZ. He gets chased down by his other North Korean soldiers. They actually go into South Korea to try to find him. That's how great communism is. Really is working well for North Korea there. They're all trying to get out of there. You know, and I found this story funny. So the UN is basically saying no to Israel saying Jerusalem is the capital, or Trump saying Jerusalem is the capital, or Netanyahu, or it doesn't matter. The UN just says no. And, you know, I realized something. Even though the UN is in the decline and deteriorating, and is effectively a non-entity. I mean, if you really want to talk about the social geopolitics, but doesn't it really say a lot when the UN just says, no, Jerusalem's not the capital of Israel, no. Well, who the hell are you, UN? Who the hell is the UN to tell us what the capital of Israel is? No. So I just thought that was funny. If we needed any more reason to shout at the UN. I mean, I don't know what kind of magic wand Trump has. You know, maybe Obama is trying to figure this out too. He must just be running laps. I mean, he's actually following Trump, literally, maybe looking for the wand. Final reading on U.S. third quarter GDP was up 3.2%. So Trump got the 3% GDP growth that he wanted. Now for the fourth quarter, it is approaching 4% GDP. And it is going to double any GDP growth ever seen under Obama for 8 years. So what is that, 32 different quarters? Obama had 32 quarters to get a 3% GDP growth. He went 0 for 32. Obama is batting 0, 0 for 32 on a 3% GDP growth quarter. Trump is going to be 4 for 4, batting 1,000. Wow. I guess that's what a magic wand does for you. This was in NBC this morning. Prosecutors ask FBI agents for info on Uranium One deal. On the orders of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Justice Department prosecutors have begun asking FBI agents to explain the evidence they found in a now dormant criminal investigation. I don't know how dormant it really is. Into a controversial Uranium One deal that critics have linked to Bill and Hillary Clinton, multiple law enforcement officials told NBC News. Oh, just Merry Christmas. I mean, do you realize how amazing this is? The fake Russian story completely backfires on the Democrats. The whole Trump grabs women narrative completely backfired on the establishment and Hollywood that tried to remove Trump and lie about Trump. Now you've got this renewed interest in the Uranium One deal, and it looks like there's a genuine movement within Congress here and from Jeff Sessions to perhaps reopen an investigation or even have a special counsel to look at that Uranium One deal. And then what is going to happen if that goes down? Oh my gosh. Hillary Clinton's legacy tarnished. Everyone involved in Mueller's probe right now, tarnished. James Comey, tarnished. So all of these people that the left has been trying to foist upon us, try to hail as the good leaders that America needs, are going to be completely embarrassed. That is, if they aren't already. I mean, seriously, though, think about all those people screaming helplessly at the sky. Think about all the people crying the night Hillary lost. What are you going to feel like when Hillary gets her day in court? And I've been saying it, every day Hillary walks free, I lose tolerance. But every day they keep pushing against Trump, every day they keep pushing this Russian deal, every day they keep colluding, every day they keep corrupting our government with the DOJ and the FBI and the State Department under Comey and Clinton and Obama, every day they keep pushing, the blowback will continue to go on them. So if they want to keep pushing this deal, Hillary Clinton, Comey, Obama's DOJ, all the people working with Christopher Steele, they are going to be the ones to have their day in court. Mark my words, if they keep pushing against Trump, which all signs say they will. And then there's this story. Now, this is kind of a... It's an old story that's getting new legs now because of new details that we've gotten. For example, President Hezbollah, that's President Obama, basically protecting Hezbollah terrorists for Iran. And so now Luke Roziak at the Daily Caller has made another connection. And I go directly to this story. So you remember the Awan brothers and that scandal with the IT? Well, now there's a new ripple here with the President Hezbollah story. So I'm just going to read directly from this because, again, this is another example of the Democrats completely deteriorating for all of their illegality and all of their criminal behavior. I mean, it's hilarious that these people are crying about Trump and literally the Democrats are being caught handed in criminal behavior. I mean, this is hilarity. So here's the story. Imran Awan and his family members were congressional IT aides who investigators said made unauthorized access to House Democrat caucus servers thousands of times. Interesting. At the same time as they worked for and could read all the emails of congressmen who sat on committees, money from a Hezbollah-linked fugitive and whose financial books were indecipherable and business patterns bizarre, according to a testimony in court records. So yeah, they look into this Imran Awan guy, they look at his activities, they look at the hiring from the Democrats, and it's just really sketchy stuff. But then they find out about these car dealerships that they're basically running, which again is older news that's now being kind of re-looked at here, reinvestigated. They think that there's some $7 million that they were essentially money laundering through this deal. But Drug Enforcement Agency officials a few miles away in Chantilly, Virginia, were learning that the Iranian-linked terror group, Hezbollah, frequently deployed used car dealerships in the U.S. to launder money and fund terrorism. Oh, so you've got Obama protecting Hezbollah. Then you've got all the Democrats using the Awans, sending money to Pakistan, who could have also been Hezbollah operatives. Well, would you look at that? There's honestly more in this story. It goes deeper into it. But another example of the Democrats being caught in criminal behavior red-handed. Keep screaming about Trump, though. You're embarrassing yourselves. is this? Sorry, I'm picking up this list of Trump's accomplishments. It's just so big. I need like a forklift for this. This story is from the Washington Examiner. It actually just got published a couple hours ago. Year one list, 81 major Trump achievements, 11 Obama legacy items repealed. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go down this list. Let's get right into it. Here is Trump's accomplishments, jobs and the economy. Passage of the tax reform bill, providing $5.5 billion in tax cuts and repealing the Obamacare mandate. Check and check. Promise fulfilled. Check and check. Huge tax cuts spur job growth. And because he can't get the neocons and the fake Republicans to repeal Obamacare like they've been promising for however many years, Trump slipped it in to the tax reform bill and knocked it out there. How do you like that, Obama? Just erasing you like you never existed. Increase of the GDP above 3%. They said he could never do that. They said that he would kill the economy. They said Trump would kill the stock market. No, it's booming. New records almost every day. And it looks like he may actually hit 4% GDP growth in one of these quarters. In fact, I predict he will. He might even hit 5. We might actually hit 5 GDP percent growth next year. Watch out for that. That'll be more than double anything Obama did. Creation of 1.7 million new jobs, cutting unemployment to 4.1%. So unemployment grows at record rates under Obama. Now it's decreasing at record rates under Trump. And the 1.7 million new jobs is just the beginning now after these tax cuts. That number is going to grow. And you've got record unemployment for black people, record unemployment for Hispanic people here in America. So that's all good. Again, exactly the opposite of what fake news told you would happen. The Dow Jones reached record highs. Yeah, again, the stock market just continues to hit records all day. A rebound in economic confidence to a 7-year high. Housing market confidence. I mean, it's all coming back. New executive order to boost apprenticeships. Yeah, I remember. I think they even named an apprenticeship week or something. I think he signed a declaration with an apprenticeship week. You know, people talk about free college, do something about the college. Well, how about you just don't go to college and you just learn something? You learn a trade, you learn a craft. I'm fully for that. Great job, Trump, trying to bring apprenticeships back. I mean, that's how people learn and get experience. A move to boost computer sciences and education department programs, prioritizing women-owned businesses, some $500 million in Small Business Association loans. What? Trump is so anti-woman that he has his daughter, you know, going on tours, visiting small businesses, and then he's got Linda McMahon heading the SBA that is touring the country, visiting small businesses. Seriously, if you are not following Linda McMahon on Twitter, it's a great follow to really look at the great work she's doing and the people that she's reaching out to. All right, let's look at the killing job stifling regulations. Signed an executive order demanding that two regulations be killed for every new one created. He beat that big and cut 16 rules and regulations for every one created, saving $8.1 billion. And that will also free the economy to grow. Signed 15 congressional regulatory cuts. Yeah, just cut, cut, cut. Withdrew from the Obama-era Paris Climate Agreement, ending the threat of environmental regulations, a huge victory. Signed an executive order cutting the time for infrastructure permit approvals. He's got to love that. He knows how much that can be if you're trying to build. Eliminated an Obama rule on streams that Trump felt unfairly targeted the coal industry. Yeah, Trump is freeing the coal industry from President Hezbollah that tried to destroy it. Here's some of his accomplishments on trade. Made good on his campaign promise to withdraw from the TPP that destroyed the global market that they were trying to create to screw America. Opened up the North American Free Trade Agreement for talks to better the deal for the U.S. Worked to bring back companies to the U.S. and companies like Toyota, Mazda, Broadcom Limited, Foxconn announced plans to build and open U.S. plants. Again, creating jobs and adding to the economy, increasing the GDP. Worked to promote the sale of U.S. products abroad. And then he did the Made in the USA Day at the White House where he just had a bunch of USA products there. He had the Stetson hat on. He was swinging around the baseball bat. made enforcement of U.S. trade laws, especially those that involve national security, a priority, ended Obama's deal with Cuba. Yeah, and now there's news today that the leader of Cuba, I'm pretty sure it was the leader of Cuba here. You know, I got it. I think I got it pulled up right here. I'm pretty sure the leader of Cuba today said he was actually going to step down in April. In April. Yeah, thank you. So that might have something to do with that. Boosting U.S. energy dominance, the Department of Interior, which has led the way in cutting regulations, opened plans to lease 77 million acres in the Gulf of Mexico for oil and gas drilling. Again, trying to free U.S. energy and make the U.S. a leader in energy again. Trump traveled the world to promote the sale and use of U.S. energy, and then he's actually doing the things to make it available. Expanded energy infrastructure products like the Keystone XL pipeline, snubbed by Obama. And then I forget the name of the one, too, that they talked about yesterday. AMWAR, I think it was, that they've been trying to get done for like 30 years, and he did that. Ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to kill Obama's clean power plan. Clean power plan, what a joke. That's the kill coal plan. EPA is reconsidering Obama rules on methane emissions. So he's just destroying Obama's legacy, just erasing Obama from history. I mean, that is so nice. It's like when we read American history books, it'll be like Obama didn't even exist. How refreshing is that? Protecting the U.S. homeland, laid out new principles for reforming immigration and put hardliners in charge of his program. It could be a little more hardliner, but okay. Made progress to build the border wall with Mexico. He's had, I think, 6 prototypes. He wants to go the one that you can see through. Ended the Obama era catch and release of illegal immigrants. I still think this needs to be hit even harder when you have people still walking from crimes like the killer of Kate Steinle. But he's at least addressing this major issue of people breaking the law and then just, you know, oh, yeah, you're allowed. You can just, you know, come here 5 times, get deported. Just come back. You'll be fine. Don't worry about that. Boosted the arrest of illegals inside the U.S. Doubled the number of counties participating with immigration and customs enforcement charged with deporting illegals. Removed 36% more criminal gang members than in the year fiscal 2016. Started the end of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Program. Yeah, he's been, and this is an interesting one, but the point is, really, just overall, he's raising awareness for these fake Democrat campaigns to bring in voter blocks, and they put, you know, like little phrase on like DACA, the Dreamers, the visa lottery program, you know, oh, they're all refugees. They come here, they lie about their age, they send their worst. And so Trump is actually making people aware of this now. And really the purpose is they bring him in for voter blocks. Ditto for other amnesty programs, like Deferred Action for Parents of Americans, cracking down on some 300 sanctuary cities that defy ICE but still get federal dollars. Well, it's time to stop sending them federal dollars. Added some new 100 immigration judges. That's just half the list. That's just half the list. Excuse me, I got a book here of all Trump's accomplishments. Good for America. Even if you hate him, he's still making your country great again. Boy, that must be brutal.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
You make it all possible. You, the audience, at Infowarsstore.com. I thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you. And we've got huge specials. You know, it's funny, between the list of Trump's accomplishments and the list of our specials, I'd need like 5 hours just to get it all out there for you. But listen to this. I mean, these sales are still going on right now at InfoWarsStore.com. This is truly absurd. Alex has gone Christmas crazy. You've got all of these supplements that are half off right now. This is just a list of all the supplements that are half off at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Plus, Super Male Vitality, Alpha Power, Cell Force, Survival Shield X2, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, The Real Red Pill, Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste and Mouthwash, Secret 12 Vitamin B12, and all InfoWars Life Select Storable Food Products are half off as well. Plus, you've got free shipping store-wide. Free shipping store-wide. So if you're looking for, say, a water filter or an air filter or to get a bunch of emergency food, that free shipping is going to kick in and save you big time. You know, I did some Christmas shopping at InfoWarsStore.com this morning. I have a box, basically, that I'm taking back to St. Louis with me for Christmas. But, I mean, go to our hats, guys. I got to tell you, the InfoWars hats are really popular. So popular, in fact, that they're sold out. So I don't know why I'm plugging a sold out a product that we don't even have right now because it's sold out. You can get on the waiting list. But if you haven't checked out our shirts, our hats, I mean, this is one of the best ways to spread the message, to execute your right to free speech, to fly your flag, and to support the InfoWar. I wanted to pick up some of those InfoWars Don't Tread on Me hats. It's one of the most popular hats we have. Can't even get it right now. I can't even get one. I work here, I can't even get one. It's madness. But seriously, just awesome hats, awesome shirts, awesome products, and it's all at InfoWarsStore.com, and it all supports us and help us expand. So with that, I bring in my guest, Joel Skousen, joelskousen.com, worldaffairsbrief.com. Joel, let's start with what's going on with North Korea right now. We just had another story where another defector tries to run across the border. They actually go into South Korea looking for him. I mean, is the North Korean regime kind of falling in on itself right now? Is that kind of a thing that's going on that nobody's really talking about right now, Joel?
In tyrannical communist regimes, there's always a desire to defect, to escape. And security is very tight, though, in the DMZ. It's very difficult for them to get across. There was a defector a couple of months ago that ran across the border, got shot several times and survived. But this guy apparently escaped and they missed. He was not shot, even though they tried to kill him. But yes, it's something always there, but there's a great fear factor in North Korea. There's a complete surveillance state, typical of all communist regimes. There's a neighborhood watch program, so it's very difficult to escape. I would say that the demand for escape is about 1,000 times higher than the actual successes.
Now, the people, you know, in Japan are obviously worried. North Korea's been firing those missiles right off Japan. They're doing drills. You got the Olympics coming up in South Korea. Do you think that there is a true threat to these Olympics, like we're hearing from Nikki Haley, and they're even floating the idea around of not even going because they're in South Korea, obviously right there with North Korea and all the tensions there? Do you think that that is a legitimate threat?
Well, it is in one aspect, in the sense that the Trump administration is actually planning. They have several options of military strikes that they're going to do. It's my personal opinion that Donald Trump does not intend to do this to interrupt the Olympics, but they are preparing contingencies. For example, they put out rather low-key bids for other cities to act as replacement cities. Salt Lake City is one of those that is designated as a possible replacement, since it already has the infrastructure in place from the previous Winter Olympics. In other words, they could switch the Olympics out of South Korea, which you've got to remember that these mountainous venues in South Korea are only less than 100 miles from the North Korean border, so they are very much at risk.
Yeah, and, you know, it's weird to me because the Army and the military started doing jungle training. They were doing desert warfare training for such a long time, obviously, you know, being in the Middle East. They then started to really switch to jungle warfare training in Hawaii. Now that seems to be the focus. Do you think that's a sign that they are preparing perhaps to have a ground war in North Korea?
I think that would be a mistake to try to do another ground war in Korea. But here's where I think the flaw is happening. Trump is determined to take military action in his national security speech this week. He said, "I'm going to take care of North Korea." But as a person who has no military experience, I'm afraid he does not have the understanding of how to counter what the military may be presenting to them. And there's an insider within the administration that told told Business Insider magazine that the United States is preparing a kind of bloody nose military strike like the Syrian cruise missile strike on an airbase. This would be a very stupid strategy to do. because that would only justify Kim Jong-un attacking South Korea with his ample artillery force. If you're going to take on North Korea militarily without undue casualties to American soldiers, you need to simply use American air and missile power to take down the three legs of North Korea's formidable offensive power. And that is, you take out their missile launch sites. There are many of them, of course. You take out their air bases. They don't have a formidable air force. They only have about 40 frontline fighters. The rest are old, obsolete fighters. But nevertheless, it takes time to shoot them all down. So you got to get them at their air bases. But third, the most formidable force is the artillery force. There's some 15,000 artillery tubes on the DMZ aimed at Seoul, an American air base. You got front Camp Humphreys, a huge base of 24,000 people, just about 40 miles from the DMZ, which is can suffer artillery strikes as well. You've got to take out those artillery in preemptive strike. You've got to take out the air bases and the missile strikes. And then you neuter his military capability. But if you do a bloody nose strike, you hit an air base, he can use that as an excuse to launch an all-out war on South Korea. I don't frankly think he's got the number of missiles or warheads to directly threaten the United States beyond our capacity to shoot them down with anti-ballistic missile technology and Aegis warships. So that isn't the real threat, even though he is a formidable threat in the future. As I've explained in my World Affairs brief, Kim Jong-un and North Korea have been set up as the trigger event for World War III. But with Trump gaining the presidency, unexpected by the globalists, this trigger event is set to go off too soon. That is, before Russia and China are ready to follow it up with a nuclear preemptive strike on American military forces. And because it's too soon, the Chinese are bending over backwards to try to get the U.S. not to attack. They're trying to play like there are diplomatic solutions. All of the globalist advisors of Donald Trump are trying to stop him from doing this strike by talking diplomatic solutions. The CFR published a piece today on diplomatic solutions that the only way. Trump's doing it right if he'll do a full preemptive strike and take out in one fell swoop his military capacity. I fear, though, Owen, that he won't do that. I think he'll get talked into a bloody nose strike, and that'll be a disaster.
Well, and this story comes a day after the story that South Korea says North Korea is packing anthrax into warheads. Just quickly, we got 20 seconds left. Were you buying that?
No, not necessarily. You know, you're going to get obliterated. You start throwing anthrax around the country, then that is an excuse to have a massive retaliatory strike.
Yeah, I found that story odd, too. We take a break. Joel Skousen is with us on the other side. We're going to get into the Bundy trial in the next segment. Joel Skousen is our guest, joelskousen.com, worldaffairsbrief.com is where you can find his work. We're going to get into the Bundy trial that was just declared a mistrial, and while that is good news for the time being, it doesn't mean that they have escaped the felony charges against them that are still lingering should a prosecutor decide to bring them back up. But now, it's being reported in the Washington Times, Attorney General Jeff Sessions stepped into the Bundy prosecution after Wednesday's mistrial, ordering a third-party examination of the case in light of the latest government snafu. Joel, you've got your finger to the pulse on this. What is the story behind the story of the mistrial in the Bundy Ranch standoff case?
Well, this is actually a move by Judge Gloria Navarro, who has been infamous for her prejudice against the Bundys, restricting their ability to defend themselves, telling them what they can and cannot say, not allowing them to have witnesses, especially denying them the type of questions or defense that would say that they were provoked. Now we have, of course, whistleblower testimony that there is an FBI memo actually talking about provoking them and putting them in a kill zone. And so it does justify an armed resistance, or at least a call for a defensive resistance from the public on the Bundys' part, which Gloria Navarro did not want revealed. Now, she's playing neutral by saying, I'm going to declare a mistrial. But that means simply that you give prosecutors another chance to clear the air, declare the evidence that they withheld before, which is a violation of the prosecutorial code and the law, and then gives them a chance to prosecute again instead of dismissing the trial, which is what defense attorneys called for. The big smoking gun here is the whistleblower, Larry Wooten, who was the lead investigator for the BLM in the Bundy case. And he documented over a period of a year extreme prejudice and bias in the BLM against everyone from the Bundys to constitutional people to the Mormon church, using vile and crude language, derogatory language, talking about grinding their face in the stone, in the gravel. I mean, you put this kind of evidence before a jury, and it's just like in the Oregon case, they're going to acquit. They're going to say not guilty because
And let's be perfectly clear, too, as you talk about the legal precedents when you tamper with evidence. Let's be very clear. The BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, this is a federal bureaucracy that should not even exist, that has basically trained these people into being, I mean, honestly, they just act like thugs. They arm them. They wantonly try to take people's land. The BLM should just get shut down, in my opinion. But go get back to what you were saying.
But you bring up a good point, though. The BLM is claimed now to be a legitimate law enforcement agency, but there's no authority for the BLM to have enforcement powers of the kind that requires snipers and people in SWAT teams and other things. And that's what they're trying to justify here. But the Wooten memos are just devastating. He talks about going into his higher-ups all throughout the chain of command and getting shut down and getting and cover-ups occurring. He documents this word for word and page after page. Then he talks about how the fact that the BLM came in and confiscated everything in his office, in his safe, his computers. They wanted to destroy the evidence of what he had. He was taking dictation. He was taking testimony of what they were saying in private, and they have yet to give Wooten back this information. Now it's in the hands of a congressional investigating team, and they're going to, of course, I think, subpoena the BLM to try to get Wooten's original documentation back, although it wouldn't be surprised me if BLM, as corrupt as he documents, will say, we can't find it, it's lost. He even tells about going to the prosecuting attorney in the Bundy case and telling them that our case from the BLM is suspect because of denial of evidence and withholding evidence. And the prosecuting attorney, who's claiming to be neutral, of course, stonewalled him as well. He's got all of this documented. This is explosive, Owen, and so literally is grounds for dismissal of the case, not just a mistrial. And I'm hoping that Jeff Sessions gets involved and say, we're not going to prosecute because this is going to, in clean house within the BLM.
Yeah, so that's where I wanted to go next, because we've seen the follow-up from this. You've got Jeff Sessions now looking into this to see if he needs to step in. So that's one reaction. But then on the other side, do you think there was a prosecutor ready to bring this back up? Do you think they kind of already had that in the works and this mistrial was just kind of a deflection?
No, I don't think they anticipated the Wooten memo getting leaked. Remember, they tried to cover up and shut down Larry Wooten. Let me just give a little preface here. Larry Wooten was a new guy in the BLM. Now, he, in terms of being an investigator, they made him the lead investigator because he was a new guy, and it became very obvious to him that he was being manipulated. He was being stonewalled. They thought by putting a new guy in there, they could at least, they could run circles around him, they could direct him, and they could keep him from doing it, but they didn't realize this guy was an honest guy, and he would start to document all of this stuff. And so this shows extreme prejudice on the part of the BLM. And I'm hoping that the BLM gets a black enough eye on this that, combined with Secretary Zinke, who's taken a very strong stand against the BLM, and he's over this agency, he can clean house in there. We could see some real changes.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe just get rid of it, too. That could be a nice change. But, you know, the crazy thing that you would think, you know, this is such government overreach. This is ridiculous. We shouldn't even be having to deal. The Bundys shouldn't even be having to deal with the Bureau of Land Management. They shouldn't even be having to go to court for this over what has been their land. I mean, do you think that there could be serious backlash against the Bureau of Land Management here? You think that this could be an opportunity to kind of, you know, put them down, if you will?
It would be an opportunity for the Trump administration to take action. You'll notice that under the Trump administration, he reduced two of the national monuments in Utah, which was an extreme example of bureaucratic overreach. In the name of protecting antiquities, they took millions of acres out of productive use, both for ranching and for oil and gas production in Utah. And Trump came in and reduced those by almost two-thirds, and the environmentalists are having a fit. But if there's any justification for bringing up the Western Lands Revolt movement again, it's during this Trump administration. You remember that the Western Lands west of the Mississippi, they've changed policy. Instead of making a new state and giving them all of the land, they only gave them a portion of the land that the settlers had actually settled. They took all of the rest and reserved it to the federal government. There's no constitutional justification for that action, although the courts have interpreted as if they can misinterpret the Constitution. But I think it's a time for the Trump administration to go the long haul and say, you know, we need to get these federal lands back to the states for management, except for the national parks, which would be politically impossible.
All right. Well, we've got 2 minutes left here with Joel Skousen. You know, Joel, I want to get your take on the tax cut bill that we just saw. I mean, to me, yes, it's not perfect. Yes, there's things obviously we would like to be done. But to me, if you just take a look at it for what it is, I don't see how it's not a huge victory for Trump, and I don't see any need for us not to celebrate it, unless, of course, you're going to pay massive taxes in New York or California. But I think that this is really going to boost the economy here. What is your measurement?
Well, I agree, Owen. At first, when it first came out, there were so many compromises, the completely removing of the deductions for mortgages, and many of the other things, property taxes, for example, the removal of the deductions for state taxes. I mean, I pay a tremendous amount of state taxes, which are clear up in the 7 to 8% of your income range. Now that was a real boon, and I was concerned about the dropping of the provision to take away the Obamacare mandate in the tax bill. And yet all of that got put back into the conference bill. This is very strange because almost always in conference committees, you lose liberty. You get the worst provisions, but not under the Trump administration. We got the better provisions. We got caps raised higher so that you can still deduct for state and local property taxes up to a $10,000 limit. I mean, sure, that doesn't help the really wealthy who have extreme taxes in the far East Coast. But it does help those normal middle class people who pay property taxes in the $2,000 to $3,000 level.
Well, and I think it'd be awesome if those people that do live in the New Yorks and the Californias, blue states that are dominated by Democrat officials, if they sit there and they say, man, we are getting gouged here. We need to elect someone new. I mean, that could be, I think, the good news to come from that for those people that are going to end up paying more. Joel Skousen, thank you so much for joining us today. Merry Christmas to you and your family. You can find him at joelskousen.com, worldaffairsbrief.com. Thank you so much, Joel.
You're welcome, Owen.
There goes Joel Skousen. When I come back, I'm going to be joined by Rob Dew. And Rob saw the new Star Wars movie last night. We're going to just do a little review of the new Star Wars film. Great again. Make Star Wars great again. Welcome back to the War Room. I saw the new Star Wars and I was not a fan. I grew up a fan of Star Wars. I even thought that the second set of films that came out after the originals were okay. Not my favorite, but they didn't turn me off of Star Wars. They didn't, you know, make me not want to watch Star Wars again. The most recent Star Wars did. It was filled with propaganda. The acting was terrible. And I don't even care about the next Star Wars anymore. But Rob, you saw the new Star Wars last night, too. I know that you, like me, are a Star Wars fan. What did you think of the film?
Notice the walkers have now become knuckle draggers. They have like they kind of look like gorillas now. I thought that was an interesting touch. But it all starts off with Star Wars The Last Jedi in the scroller. It says in capitals, resistance.
Yeah, the resistance, the resistance, the resistance.
The resistance, not the rebels. Now they're the resistance. They've been renamed to fit in with today's SJW
ideals. And they got their leader with the purple hair who's clearly a SJW liberal. You know, I mean, the propaganda is absurd.
Oh, by the way, spoiler alert, everybody. Spoiler alert. We're going to spoil some stuff.
Yeah.
Now,
the SJWs
do save the day numerous times. They're always there saving the day. But let's talk the acting, first of all. Mark Hamill, I'm sorry, subpar performance from Mark Hamill.
I think he was uninspired because he didn't like the story.
Could be. And overall, I thought the story was my favorite part of the film, which isn't saying much. It was like a 5 out of 10. But the acting, I thought overall the acting was just, it was really bad. I don't know what's going on with the franchise anymore. They're just trying to play lip service to too many different SJW ideals.
I think that you just hit it on the head. I think that that's what it is. They're trying to shove so much propaganda into the film that watching it, you get lost in it all. That you can't even, like, it's like I'm not even watching a Star Wars film because they've got all of this little propaganda and all these little subconscious things that they're shoving down your throat.
And there's a lot more there was always animals in Star Wars. Like, we had the Tauntauns and we had Ewoks, but the running horse things, and then these ice cat dogs.
Well, let's not forget too, there's the scene where Chewie is about to eat, I guess it's essentially like a little chicken or something.
Yeah, a little bird.
And then the other little birds pop up and it's like, oh, don't eat it. Clearly vegetarian propaganda. I mean, it's just like, you know.
No, and then you had the
I like meat.
There's no, we can't have any racing. We can't have anything in the new. And notice, it was okay that they went and destroyed this other, the Vegas planet. Planet Vegas is what I would call it. They go through and destroy it. It was the black character and the Asian character. Spoiler alert, people. They go through and destroy these casinos, and they're like, that felt good. We stopped the man because they were supposed to.
We're the resistance.
Right. But the funny thing was Benicio del Toro's character points out the hypocrisy. He's like, look, they sell to these guys. They also sell to you guys too, pointing out that all this stuff is funded by the arms dealers, essentially. The military industrial complex always wins.
Well, here's my thing too. Obviously, just because of the brand name Star Wars, they're going to have a huge box office opening weekend. But the thing that stood out to me was the Monday box office numbers that were half of what they were for The Force Awakens.
Right.
And to me, what that indicates is that people didn't go back and see it. They didn't like the film, so they didn't go back. I saw The Force Awakens in theaters twice, so I would have been that, you know, Monday box office guy. Those guys don't exist anymore. I genuinely think that Star Wars really hurt their base of fans with this film.
I would agree.
I would totally agree.
And I'm not looking forward. You know, my kids, though, they like this one better than Force Awakens. My kids
really
liked it. I think it's definitely garnered toward kids. But I did point out all the things to them. I said, you see what they're trying to do with this? Did you notice the resistance in the beginning?
Yeah, it was I think you're right about that. It was kind of more towards a kid vibe, like a more immature audience.
Well, they kind of, you know, after Empire, they kind of all went towards kids.
Yeah.
I think they stopped being serious, really.
Selling products. But they can't even sell products. Product sales are severely down after this Star Wars. All right, I suggest don't waste your money on the new Star Wars. I just watch the old ones.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
You're at Freedom Command Central. Yes, it's the War Room with your host, Roger Stone, joined by my colleagues, Owen Schroyer and the great Rob Dew. What we see now, gentlemen, is the Brer Rabbit strategy. That's where liberal Democrats run around saying, oh, the president's going to fire Mueller. It's going to be the Christmas night massacre. It's going to be the New Year's Eve massacre. They're trying to induce our president to fire Mueller. in an attempt to regain the upper hand. The last 3 weeks have been so damaging to Mueller and his probe, he seeks now an error by the president in order to recoup. If the president's reading InfoWars, he can go to my long piece yesterday where I outlined a strategy that is far superior than firing Mr. Mueller. That is, quite simply, ordering Attorney General Jeff Sessions to appoint a special prosecutor in the matter of Uranium One. Such a special prosecutor would necessarily have to have within their purview Mr. Mueller, Mr. Comey, Mr. McCabe, and the supervising U.S. attorney in that case, none other than Rod Rosenstein. These four men, of course, cannot continue to probe the president if they themselves are under federal investigation. So, Mr. President, don't take the bait. I spoke to one reporter this morning who said, well, the president is headed for Palm Beach tomorrow. He'll be mixing with his various right-wing friends. They're going to whip him into a frenzy. And therefore, on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve, he's going to fire Mueller. Don't take the bait, Mr. President. I'm not saying, of course, that Mueller doesn't deserve to be fired. He most certainly does. But this would only allow the mainstream media to recycle the narrative of the Saturday night massacre under Richard Nixon and to try to regain the initiative. Owen, how do you see it?
Well, I think that Trump is smart enough to kind of see these situations where he's being baited. And the only thing that to me is I don't see why it hasn't already been done. You know, so I think that Donald Trump probably already sees something coming in the future with this. And that's why he's not rushing to get this Uranium One probe. But there's stories out today. I mean, you got NBC News today, Roger. Prosecutors ask FBI agents for info on Uranium One deal. And this story is indicating that Jeff Sessions is now finally looking to stir up some interest and maybe some momentum for an investigation into Uranium One. But I completely agree with you, because what happens if they do that probe, if they do investigate the Uranium One deal, that pretty much indicts everyone in charge of the Russian collusion investigation into Trump right now. I mean, what are they going to do when the people investigating for Russian collusion are caught colluding with Russia?
Yeah, it's really quite extraordinary that the four gentlemen who are twisting the president's tail, his major tormentors, are the criminal perps involved in the cover-up in what could be the single largest treasonous financial crime in American history. There is a blow-by-blow blueprint of exactly how uranium went down on the Infowars.com site now, so you can understand this extraordinary scandal. In essence, two things were going on at the same time. The Clintons were moving at warp speed to try to close a deal to line their pockets, at the same time giving a Russian interests control of 20% of our uranium and mining rights literally worth billions. And at the same time, the Obama administration was slow peddling the investigation into that activity. In the end, Mueller not only shirks his responsibility, shifts the investigation over to the Baltimore U.S. attorney, who happens to be Mr. Rosenstein, and then as a sign from the Clintons, presumably, to the Russians that everything in the U.S. is under control, they actually use Mueller as a carrier pigeon to carry uranium samples to Russia. This is meant to signal the Russians that you don't have to worry about an FBI or Department of Justice investigation. It is the smoking gun.
Well, we've reached a point now, Roger, and I was talking about this earlier, where, I mean, everything is coming back on the Democrats. You know, it's not even us sitting here in an echo chamber talking about Uranium One, talking about the Awans and the IT scandals, you know, talking about all of this. It's all coming out now. I mean, it's all coming out. And I just don't understand the mindset of people right now that just either act like it doesn't exist, choose to ignore it, or just completely discount it. I mean, you've got Joy Reid, this complete nitwit, on MSNBC, he's like, oh, the Uranium One has already been debunked, Roger. There's no Uranium One deal. There never even was Uranium One. In fact, uranium doesn't even exist. You know, I mean.
Yeah, no, look, I think Joy Reid is mentally deranged. I saw her virulent gay bashing tweets on her old website recently, and they turned my stomach. As a libertarian, they make me sick. She's literally an airhead. She wrote last year that I counseled Donald Trump to cozy up to the Russians. How would she know? She's privy to my conversations with the president? We've never had any such conversation during the campaign or after it. Donald Trump has no illusions about the evil of the Russian system. He has no illusions about the motives of Putin. On the other hand, he doesn't think thermonuclear war over Syria is a good idea for Christmas. And who can blame him? That's what this is really about. It is not only an excuse for why they lost the election, because it couldn't be the brilliance of Donald Trump and the extraordinary historical campaign that he ran without polling, without massive paid media, without all of the modern accoutrements of a campaign, where the Clintons outspent him, God knows, 7, 8, 9 to 1. No, it has to be the Russians. And then the deep state's real beef with Trump is he won't go along with their plans for the next war. He won't go to war over Syria. That's what they really object to. Hillary Clinton promised them an expansion of the proxy war in Syria. They were licking their chops, as were their defense contracting buddies. So that is what is the important background here for people to understand. I want to take a minute, Owen, to talk about the extraordinary specials that we have going on now at the InfoWars.com store. We are under siege as never before. I'm sure many of you saw this test run that they played out in Chicago last week, where they cut the InfoWars transmission on radio, blaming emergency preparations by the UN. Folks, that was a dry run. I think they intend to try to shut us down everywhere. And we don't have, the war chest on hand today to fight these people. We are paying for a giant expansion. And that's why Alex Jones has slashed the prices at the InfoWars.com store. Some of these products, when I was in Austin the last couple of days, I had a chance to try. I must tell you, Alpha Power, it fuses the best of the old and new. It fuses, ancient Chinese herbal medicine that goes back centuries with some of the very finest quality modern ingredients to give you a product that really lifts your performance and your physical energy. If you're an athlete, I would strongly recommend this. But even if you're a mental athlete and you have to put in the hours that we do, Owen, this is a great product. And at 50% off, with free shipping, this is what I want in my stocking. Of course, we have Brain Force Plus, my favorite product, one that gives you a mental and clarity and physical energy. So help yourself, help the resistance, help us beat back the globalists, help us pay for the extraordinary expansion in programming and facilities that Alex Jones has mapped out. You will not see price discounts like this again anytime soon. We want you to try the products. That's why in many cases, Alex Jones is willing to lose money on your first purchase, because you will see how fine these products are. And folks, go to the auto ship. You will never be without. We'll be right back. Have any of that gun footage handy? Okay, welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Roger Stone. We are pleased. I was pleased to say that I got my Christmas present early this week when Alex Jones took me to the range and had an opportunity to fire a whole series of automatic and semi-automatic and non-automatic weapons. I grew up in an urban area, and I never had much experience with firearms. I have a respect for them and their proper use and the proper training in the use of them. But this was really a truly great experience. Now, for those liberals who are ripping their hair out right now, no, we don't advocate violence. No, we're not fomenting violence. You're confusing us with Antifa. They're the ones who would like to move towards a violent confrontation to tear down our society and our constitution. There you see it there. We are that was an amazing, amazing experience. And I my thanks to Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew for setting it up. A piece of news here. From Arizona, 86-year-old Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who was, as you know, Owen, pardoned by the president only months ago in a conviction that stems from a political hit job by the Obama Justice Department, is seriously weighing running for the U.S. Senate seat of the retiring Jeff Flake. Now, Joe Arpaio may be 86 years old, but he is a sharp, energetic 86, and he has a vast name ID in the state of Arizona. What could be a greater present for us than Sheriff Joe Arpaio replacing Jeff Flake in the U.S. Senate, Owen?
Well, and you think about Sheriff Joe, he's a fighter, too. You know, this is a guy who is not going to kowtow to liberal policies and political correctness while serving in the Senate should he choose to run. I'd be very excited for that. I think that there would be a lot of excitement for Sheriff Joe Arpaio to get into the Senate. And, you know, what we're doing here, Roger, is we're identifying senatorial candidates, candidates for the House of Representatives who are going to get in and get behind Trump's agenda. They're going to put America first. They're going to represent the people, not career politicians that put Washington, D.C. first, not career politicians that put whoever donates to them first, but politicians who've actually served in the community, in the country, from the private sector, what have you, that want to get in there and get Trump's agenda through because they've seen the obstacles that come from the Senate and from the House of Representatives. And, you know, let's not forget, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, has said before he thinks Barack Obama's birth certificate was fake. Sheriff Joe Arpaio did the actual investigation into the birth certificate, and he found out that, guess what? Yes, it is a forgery. So, I mean, just think about that dynamic being in the Senate. My, oh, my, what an amazing difference that would be from what we had in the Senate just 4 years prior.
No, there's a terrific story on the InfoWars site by Dr. Jerome Corsi only days ago about the federal agency's involvement in the birth certificate controversy. Now, Sheriff Joe would have to make his case. That would be one of the things that I would expect to see in a campaign. But you're right. He's a fighter. It's not just that he's a fellow Italian-American, although I do love him for that. I really hope Sheriff Joe will make this race. I'm waiting with bated breath to hear.
Yeah, and of course, this is the state of Arizona here where Jeff Flake, as you said, is going to step aside from Snowflake, Arizona. So again, you get a soft Republican who goes against Trump out in Jeff Flake, and you get a hardliner who wants to get in to back Trump's agenda in Sheriff Joe. So yeah, that's definitely exciting. We'll be keeping our ear to the ground on that, and be sure to stay tuned at InfoWars.com for more on that. What else you got on your radar today, Roger?
Well, Owen, if you watched the president's press conference yesterday or press event in which he hailed the passage of his historic tax cut, the biggest tax cut in American financial history, you can see how relaxed and gracious he was and how he was anxious to share the credit with Mitch McConnell, with Paul Ryan, with my friend Senator Orrin Hatch, you know, he may be oblivious to the fact that now that the House and Senate Republicans have passed the tax cut, which unfortunately, in some cases, they larded up with their Wall Street sweeteners, that they now have greater license and perhaps a greater intention to turn on this president. Donald Trump being gracious, sharing the credit, the McConnells and Ryans, in my opinion, continuing to plot behind his back for his removal. It's important to recognize, though, that the wind is now to the president's back. With these enormous tax cuts comes a boost in his popularity and a boost in his support and a galvanizing of his base like we have never seen before. When you combine that in real time with the revelations about the Mueller investigation, Peter Stroke, and the McCabe exploits, and the activities of Rod Rosenstein, the president has really strengthened his position. That's why the Democrats are trying to goad him into firing Mueller in an impulsive move. See, they're hoping that the president will go to Palm Beach and that he will mix with many of his strongest supporters who are understandably furious about Mueller's probe, and that he will act precipitously and impulsively to fire Mueller. As we said in the first segment, there's a much better way, Mr. President. I'm hoping that Don Jr. and Eric and some of the other members of the Trump family will point out to the president that he can achieve the same thing through the appointment of a special prosecutor in the Uranium One matter, as I outlined on the Infowars.com site only yesterday.
You know, the amazing thing about everything that's happening right now, right here during Christmas time, I think it's fair to say, Roger, I mean, I would say, in my opinion, this moment right now in the Trump presidency, at least so far, is the best. This is the most victorious, most magnanimous, most, you know, American moment that we've had. The tax cuts, everything coming back on the Democrats, them being exposed, the Mueller probe being exposed. I mean, this is just like ultimate victory season right now.
And if you were in Austin yesterday while the president was speaking, you could literally hear liberal heads exploding across the land, exploding in a pink mist as the stock market soars to record levels, as unemployment goes to record lows, as the housing market takes off as never before.
Trump is there it is, Roger. Look at that. There, America takes off, America roars, and then there's a deluge of liberal tears.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. I'm your host or co-host, Roger Stone, broadcasting from the new New York Bureau of Infowars. We're still working out some of our technical bugs, but as you can see, we have a lot of memorabilia here in the studio, and we're grateful to be with you today. This expansion not possible without your loyal support for the InfoWars store. Joining me now is one of my favorite supporters of the president, Pastor Mark Burns of Easley, South Carolina, easily one of the most important African-American voices in the 2016 campaign supporting the president. Pastor Burns, welcome to the War Room.
Honored to be here, Roger Stone. What, the Roger Stone. Honored to be here.
That's a fine-looking necktie you've got there, Pastor.
Well, you know, coming from you, that means a lot.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, I want to talk very specifically about something dramatic that happened last week when you were visiting with the president. I think we first broke the news here because I heard about it literally minutes after it happened, and then the Washington Post followed InfoWars, probably the first time that that's happened. But you actually literally, when they say Mark Burns has the president's back, they're telling the truth. Tell our listeners and viewers what exactly happened.
Roger, well, you know, we were in the Oval Office, and And I was in the Oval Office, and we were presenting the president with the Friends of Zion Award. And for everybody to know, the Friends of Zion Award is an award commissioned by the 7th Prime Minister of Israel. And we was presenting this award to the president for his courage of recognizing Jerusalem as the Israel, as the capital of Israel. And as I'm sitting beside the president, standing beside him, he's about to receive the award. He's behind the Resolute desk sitting down. And I'm literally sitting to his left. And then in my peripheral vision, I saw this massive, huge, you know, half dollar sign white spider literally running up the back of the president. This is literally on his spine, running towards his neck. And, you know, it was quiet. It was quiet. You know, Roger, you've been there. You know, he's presenting, he's getting an award. And then all of a sudden, I just saw the spider and just reacted. You know, I saw the spider, smacked it hard. I don't know how hard I hit the I hit him pretty hard. and when I killed the spider and I grabbed it, and you got to understand, Roger, I hate spiders. Like the millions of viewers that are watching me, I hate spiders. And I caught the spider, and the president, you know, he didn't jump. He didn't overreact. He wasn't scared. He wasn't even startled. I mean, Roger, you know, of all people, more than anybody, the president is a man's man. You know, and he gave me that kind of a look like, he turned and he said, you know, he didn't say anything. He just gave me a look like, hit me one more time.
He is a cool customer. We saw that on the campaign trail. That thug jumped up on the stage and started running towards him. You didn't see him cowering. You didn't see him ducking. No. Campaign is a profile of bravery and courage. And I know that he loves you and trusts you, Pastor Burns. That probably has some role. How did the Secret Service react to your quick reflex?
You know, they didn't. You would think that they would have, you know, come out the woodwork, you know, but they didn't, because, again, they've seen me. I've been on the campaign trail, you know, for a long time, and I've been interacting with the president for a while. But I immediately began to, you know, say, Mr. President, I'm so sorry for hitting you, but there was a huge spider, and I began to explain to him. And he said, well, did you kill it? Did you kill it? I said, I did, Mr. President. It's dead. Here it is. He said, well, you saved me. And then I began to yell immediately, you know, Secret Service, please don't shoot me. Please. Please don't shoot me. I just saved the president's life. I deserve a medal. And everybody bust out laughing. And
when you say you've got the president's back, you're literally not kidding. Now, I can't resist the opportunity to talk some politics with you. There are many, many people in your home state of South Carolina, I know, who are urging you to seek public office. Some would like you to run for state office, maybe on the ticket with that great Republican governor, Henry McMaster, who I strongly support, and I know you do also. A strong supporter of the president. Still others hope that you would challenge Senator Lindsey Graham. You noticed in yesterday's photo op how Lindsey kind of sidled in there. I noticed in the New York Times a week ago one sentence that said Lindsey Graham, who is building a closer relationship with the president. Clearly, John McCain not likely to be in the Senate much longer. God bless his soul. We pray for him, but he is greatly ill, as he has acknowledged. So what's your thinking about seeking public office?
Well, you know, Roger, you're absolutely right. It's not just people in South Carolina. I'm getting, you know, letters and emails and from literally people all over the country. I just got back from the great state of Nevada, some wonderful friends there supporting Dan and Tarkinian in the race there against Rhino Dean Heller. And so we got to get him out in June. And so there are literally people all over the country in California. And I'm just getting overwhelmed, Roger, to be honest with you, of the support that is starting to gear up nationally and even here in South Carolina. But, you know, as I've always said, you know, my number one goal first is just to support the president of the United States of America. You know, I've never, you know, desired the spotlight. You know, I never pushed myself out there, you know, and I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, that word is a shepherd. My job is to be a servant. I'm a servant to the people. And if there's an overpouring, and that's starting to happen, an overpour outcry of people desiring me to serve, then I'm at the will of the people. But right now, my focus is supporting President Donald Trump, traveling the country, listening to your wisdom. You are an amazing mentor to my life. You are an amazing deep wisdom. You really know what you're talking about, and you're one of the reasons why I've become a success. In this new move, Make America Great Again movement. But really, I'm just at the will of the people. You know, if the people desire it, then let it be known. Other than that, you know, I just want to serve my God, serve my Lord Jesus Christ, and serve my family and continue to serve the will of the president, whatever that means, whatever capacity that will be. And I want to serve his vision.
Well, I know you're praying over this, and I know when the time comes that you will do the right thing. A lot of people were surprised last week when Vanity Fair reported incorrectly that I was writing a book called The Downfall of Donald Trump. I never anticipated writing such a book. I am outraged by the excesses and the partisanship and the viciousness and the hate and the resolve of the Mueller phony investigation and the Mueller hit squad. And I only pray that the president will wake up soon and realize that the low-key trust Mueller strategy of his current lawyers is a recipe for disaster. I'm deeply committed to this president and keeping him in office, as I know you are, but I really think his lawyers misunderstand the deep enmity of the political establishment for him and their resolve to remove him under any circumstances possible.
Absolutely. Roger, what you're saying, you're hitting it right on the nail. I mean, the deep state is absolutely real, and the deep state will do whatever it can to remove people like you, to remove people like me. And they fill in the halls with this Mueller and this fake collusion that is taking place. I mean, you called it out way before anybody else did. And InfoWars, you know, who are on the front line, Alex Jones, who are on the front lines of really telling it like it is to the people. It is without question, a travesty in American politics. And it is desires to have no place, fits nowhere in the White House. And I pray the president wakes up real soon to Mueller and this false collusion that's taking place.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Mark Burns. We're about out of time, but I thank you for joining us and check in with us early next year. I'd like to get your take on how the president's doing, but congratulations for saving the president's life. The country is indebted.
Thank you, Roger Stone.
Welcome back. That's Dare Bingle, as he called himself, Bing Crosby, the groaner, one of the great crooners of American entertainment. And I just spent 3 days in Austin, a really great experience. The energy at the secret Freedom Command Center that is InfoWars is really extraordinary. Great to be with you, Owen, with Rob Dew and Harrison Smith and so many others in the brigade. And everybody there kind of does double duty, helps everybody else, fills in for each other, because we recognize that we are the resistance. We are the cutting edge of the movement to protect this president from his enemies, foreign and domestic, and that we have been the first ones to sound the clarion call about the deep state efforts to remove him by any means necessary. Now, Owen, I've been in American politics for 40 years. I've seen a lot of strange things. I've seen a lot of Kafka-esque moments. But yesterday, when I saw that the Obama NSA director, James Clapper, said that Al Franken was removed from the Senate or was forced to tender his resignation, which of course still hasn't happened, it was at the direction of Vladimir Putin, and that once again, repeating the lie, the fabrication, that I did anything other than report this matter, which I did. So Clapper, an admitted perjurer, a man who testified under oath for the U.S. Senate that no, America has no metadata collection system for its citizens, only to be disproved by the revelations of Edward Snowden, now wants us to believe that Putin is somehow involved in the removal of Franken. It's one thing to have a clown like Tom Arnold, the washed-up comedian, making baseless charges like Stone coached Tweeden, the woman who first accused the senator of sexual assault, for weeks. No, Tom, actually, I've never met the woman, never communicated with her, never spoken to her. And then you have a nut job named Richard Painter, Dick Painter, as we call him. This guy touches on lunacy. He's all over CNN and Fox saying that this was a Stone Fox takedown of Franken. You know, Dick, put up or shut up. If you've got some evidence that my role is anything other than breaking the news here first on InfoWars, produce it. But, you know, a member of the bar should have a higher regard for truth. Your zany, almost insane comments without any foundation in fact or any evidence are really growing tedious. Perhaps what we should do is exactly what you say. Let's have a full Senate hearing, an investigation into what happened to Franken. It's not incidental that six out of the seven women who have accused him of sexual assault are liberal Democrat activists. Or did I orchestrate that too? This is really reaching the point of ridiculousness, but I'm going to be joining C-SPAN for their Newsmakers program, which will air this Sunday, and I hope to have an opportunity to address this. I find it inherently unfair that Mr. Painter is allowed to go on Fox and CNN and make these baseless, irresponsible charges against me and InfoWars, and neither network affords us the opportunity to respond. How fair is that, Owen?
Well, fairness, I mean, my goodness, I don't even think fairness is within the realm of possibility when dealing with these people. The crew just flashed that Salon article. I mean, this is beyond ridiculous, Roger. This is downright insanity when they are so they're so high on their own BS that they've convinced themselves that somehow Vladimir Putin is literally pulling all the strings of what's going on in the news cycle. Oh, a story breaks. Al Franken accused of sexual assault. Must have been Putin. Donald Trump cuts the Americans' taxes. Oh, must have been Putin.
No, at this point, if you get a parking ticket, obviously Putin has influence with the meter maid.
Tapper. Jake Tapper gets a parking ticket. Putin did it.
No, there's no question. Look, I think we both recognize that Tapper is well aware of the fact that on January 1st, my Mr. Stone's international best and worst dressed list will be made public. And a lot of thought, a lot of analysis, and a lot of listener input goes into this list. Now, Jake, in all honesty, because the list is non-political, there are liberals on it, there are Democrats on it, Ted Kennedy's been on it, even Elliot Spitzer was on it one year, in which he upped his game before he went to the Zuckerberg-style hoodies. But we know that that Jake is probably upset about the fact that you, Owen, are heavily slated to replace him on the list. You made it last year. I think you are likely to make it this year. Now, we do not do this lightly. This is not just Roger Stone's friends are on the list. There are people on this list that I don't particularly care for. But this is not politics. This is something a little lighter, but not unimportant. That is style. You see, fashion is fleeting. Fashion comes and goes. Neckties get thicker. Women's skirt hems go up, women's skirt hems go down. But style is forever, Owen, and the number of people who can count themselves as truly stylish is very low. You know Stone's rules, look good, feel good. Right now, I'm trying to order the appropriate size Tom Mix style cowboy hat for our friend Alex Jones, because he has a distinctive look, and I think it would kind of cap off the full Texan in him. But I'm having a little trouble tracking that down in time for Christmas, but we're working on it.
I like that. I'm picturing it now, Alex Jones in the cowboy hat, and for some reason, shirtless on a horse. I don't know. That's just something that Alex Jones liked to do with Vladimir Putin. You know, Putin probably made that call too. I just want to say, you know, Swank, Stone on Style, we've got the side up right now with last year's best and worst dressed. I would just like to just put my two cents in here, Roger, real quick before you depart from the program today. From what I've seen, Rachel Maddow really belongs on the worst dressed list. I mean, that woman has no idea about fashion or how to look good on camera. And then, you know, I'm not sure if Chunk Unger or Chunk Yogurt, has the man ever been to a tailor? Does he know that you can get suits to fit you? I mean, I don't know if he's aware of that. So unless he can get to a tailor before you publish the 2017 Best and Worst Dressed, I think that Chunk Yogurt belongs on there again.
Yeah, well, look, he is definitely an emergency case, and he should be rushed to the nearest quality tailor to see what can be done. Look, we kid around, but this is something that a tradition that I picked up from Mr. Blackwell of Hollywood. Mr. Blackwell was an arbiter of fashion, was a Hollywood-based designer himself, and he would have this withering commentary on the best and worst-dressed people in America, and he could make the career of a young movie starlet or an actor or an athlete or a socialite or even a business person. And we've just tried to carry this great tradition forward. So we're still compiling our list. Yes, there will be some liberals on it, but this is about style. It's not about your politics. So if you have recommendations, folks, you can go to stone@stonezone.com. That's stone@stonezone.com, the email box I'm using for input on this matter. And if you want to look at last year's list, go to stoneonstyle.com. One thing you can bet on is that Steve Bannon is likely to make this year's worst dress list, which in all honesty, Steve, who's an incredibly good sport, thoroughly enjoys and gets a giant laugh out of. But I don't understand the button-down shirt on top of the button-down shirt on top of the button-down shirt. But I like his politics. It's his style that I don't care for.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't think we have the photo evidence. Maybe you're sitting on it. Maybe you're sitting on it. I don't know. You are going to publish a story here in less than a week. But, you know, you've got Brian Stelter that wears sandals with his suits. So, I mean, that's cringeworthy right there.
Yeah, no, I have a firsthand report on that, so I know that it's accurate. It's very sad. Brian Stelter is the man who fashion forgot and style never touched. Thanks for a great show here at the War Room, and folks, don't forget, hit the InfoWars store for all your Christmas shopping. Help the freedom lovers and the patriots in your family, but help yourself and help us at the same time. Deep discounts that we can still get to you in time for Christmas if you act now.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So we're about to go to this this clip of Senator Mark Warner, a Democrat, talking about how it would be a gross abuse of power firing Mueller. My goodness, the irony. You want to talk about a gross abuse of power? How about James Comey and Peter Stroke letting Hillary Clinton get away with crimes via rephrasing and editing the terminology in the reports that came out from the investigation? You want to talk about a gross abuse of power? How about Mueller's team going after the family of Mike Flynn and Paul Manafort doing no-knock raids? You want to talk about a gross abuse of power? How about setting up a fake investigation that then entraps Mike Flynn into a charge? You want to talk about a gross abuse of power? Well, I could go on. But how about this from the Daily Caller this morning? Rand Paul, investigate Obama officials who might have colluded against Trump. Now, this is what Senator Rand Paul tweeted out this morning. Time to investigate high-ranking Obama government officials who might have colluded to prevent the election of Donald Trump. This could be worse than Watergate. And of all the coverage that we've done of the fake Trump-Russia collusion probe that nobody buys, this never hit me until Rand Paul tweeted this. Folks, I want to try to phrase this properly, but do you realize there was literally a team of people inside the government working with Obama, working with Hillary Clinton, working with the FBI? We have the names, we have the documents that tried to stop the American people from electing a president. I don't even know how to say it. I don't even know how to report on this. There's no words. There's no, I mean, this is like beyond treason. These people think they're bigger than the government. Or they think, well, yeah, they think they're bigger than the government. They think they're bigger than the American people. They think they're bigger than the office of president. They think they're gods. And because of their hubris, because of their arrogance, and honestly, because they need to cover up all the crimes they've committed, they thought they could rig the whole deal and get Hillary in, and that was going to go just fine. Well, the American people stood up and said, no, we don't want that psycho thing, and we'll take Donald Trump. And so what did they do? They tried to make up false allegations. They tried to make up fake dossiers. They used the media to try to keep him out. Now they have this fake Russian probe to try to get him out. Folks, we have a group of people, wanton, out of control, totally out of their minds, that tried to steal an election. I mean, this is just insane. So, but here's Mark Warner. Here's the Democrat Mark Warner saying that it's Trump possibly firing Mueller that's a gross abuse of power.
I rise today concerned about the threats.
This guy's such a pencil neck.
Investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election. Over the last several weeks, a growing chorus of irresponsible and reckless voices have called for President Trump to shut down Special Counsel Mueller's investigation. At first,
I'll tell you, I can't even.
These calls came from the fringes.
You know what? Just turn them off. Just turn them off. I'm going to lose it. This is absurd that you have. Okay, so what's going to come out about Mark Warner, folks? What is going to come out about Mark Warner? Trust me, I've been saying it. Keeps being proven right. The louder they scream, the more they got to hide. The louder they call out for Trump to be impeached or this or that, the more skeletons they have in their closet. What is Mark Warner hiding? Mark Warner, are you a complete moron? Or are you just a straight-up liar? And by the way, Trump has never suggested he's going to fire Mueller. So this is a total straw man argument to begin with.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
I mean, this is honestly just. You have a group of people that are so arrogant, so corrupt, they tried to steal the election. They tried to steal your right. I mean, this is like, folks, if the American people aren't up in arms about this, if the American Republic is not going crazy about Peter Stroke and Hillary Clinton and Bruce Orr and Glenn Simpson and all of these people that tried to steal our election, that now Rand Paul is calling them out. Investigate the Obama officials who tried to steal the election from Donald Trump. Investigate the Obama officials who tried to steal the election from you. Investigate these people that tried to steal our election. I mean, I can't. What else needs to happen? I want to give out the phone number. This is just ridiculous. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. We'll just go open line Fridays. Whatever you want to talk about today, bring it up. You've got this fake investigation going on into President Trump, duly elected by the American people. Meanwhile, you had a team of corrupt, mostly Democrats, who tried to steal your election. Imagine that. Yeah, go vote. Go ahead, go vote for the president, but it doesn't matter because we're stealing it from you anyway. Screw you. And people aren't even, folks, let's be perfectly honest. If we were not fluorided basically to death, if people in this country weren't totally poisoned by the chemicals in the food and water, totally brain dead by the chemicals in the food and water, totally brain dead by the liberal state education, totally brain dead by the mass media and the television flicker rates. If this population, totally brain dead by the big pharmaceutical pills, if this population wasn't already brain dead, if the fluoride in the water and everything hadn't already just completely, literally just killed people's brains, they don't even know what to do. This is a true story. I'm sitting in the movie theater to see Star Wars. Showtime was 11:30 p.m. It's 11:45. Nothing is on the screen. You've got 40 people sitting in a theater staring at a blank screen. Nobody goes and tells anyone. Nobody goes to think and ask, hey, what's going on? They just sit there. So that's what I'm talking about. If these people in this country weren't totally fluorided and brain dead, we would literally be marching in the streets, pitchforks, torches, guns. You tried to steal our election, damn it! So I'm just so done with this. And they want to sit here and say that Donald Trump is a Russian agent. They're going to sit here and spend almost probably over $20 million now on some Russian collusion investigation. And then they're going to say Rand Paul's a Russian agent. These people are so off the tracks. There's not even a word for it. No, there is a word for it. You know what? It's a rip snorter. This is a rip snorter that we're dealing with here. I just can't even, honestly, you know, I'm so glad it's Christmas because this is so insane. I need this Christmas break. Merry Christmas. This is just insane. All right, let's go to a caller here. Maybe a caller can get me calmed down here. Let's go to Steve calling in from West Virginia. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
Merry Christmas, Owen.
Merry Christmas, Steve.
Yeah, I was watching Alex today and, man, he was really touched by the spirit. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was talking about why we celebrate Christmas.
I think you're talking about Stefan Molyneux. Great segments with Stefan Molyneux today.
Oh, it was great. And Alex was just so touched of it. And I want to thank you all for your service. I'm a United States Marine Corps vet, and I want to thank you all for your service because the war you're fighting is just as important as the war that we fought for on the front lines. And I think a lot of people need to understand that. And
you volunteered yourself and put your life on the line to go fight for this country. And I'm not going to have it, you know, come back and you see what's going on in this country when we're not fighting. I mean, I would imagine that would be so demoralizing. You know, these soldiers come back to America from serving these long stints overseas and they don't even recognize the country. I feel like at least we can give you a little, you know, calm where you're like, at least people are still fighting for the country I put my life on the line for.
Exactly. We come back and see that our country has been sold out from underneath of us. It's been destroyed from within. It's just frustrating.
I mean, look at this story. Look at this story I got here, Steve. I mean, this is not why you serve the country. Saipan, the island where Chinese mothers deliver American babies. I remember Alex Jones talking about this years ago. How they're smart people. These smart Chinese people, they know the laws in China, and so they come to America literally just to have children. They did the same thing in Canada. And so you've got this island where these Chinese women, they just go to this island, they give birth, and then the child is an American. I mean, they're taking advantage of a system, but that's not why we put our lives on the line. That's not why Steve joined the Marine Corps so that Chinese people could just become Americans. I'm sorry, no.
Exactly. And the thing is that when we get old, see, I was a veteran over 50 years ago. I'm old and retired now and everything. And these migrants, these illegals, they get better benefits. They get more money.
Absolutely.
I do.
That is absurd.
I gave my whole life for this country. And
they don't. They won't even. Some of these people won't even learn the language of English.
Correct. And if it wasn't for faith in God, I don't think I'd be here right now. I called you all back during the Christmas spectacular about a T-shirt that says I'm a Christian, not a global racist.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you talking to me about that.
Yeah. I think it'd be a good line. I'd bet my big spotted horse that over 90% of you all's listeners are Christians. I think it'd be a good product to do like a Christian line. I'm a Christian, not a deep state pedophile. I mean, you can use all kinds of them.
No, I like that. I think you're onto something there.
If we lose all faith in God, which is what they are trying to do, is destroy the Christians. If we lose all faith in God in this nation, then we've lost this nation.
Absolutely, and that's why Donald Trump, I mean, say whatever you want about his past, but, I mean, he gets it, and that's why he always invokes God. That's why he makes it a point to invoke God and talk about Jesus and talk about our traditions and our culture and Christmas, because he knows that that's been a war, that they've been trying to destroy that part of our culture.
Exactly. On one of your shows, you was talking about prayer in the Oval Office. I am 60-some years old, and I have never seen prayers like I've seen in the Oval Office.
Yeah, it's like every time they do a prayer, every time there's a meeting or something, they're always bowing their heads to pray now. You never saw that under Obama. That was politically incorrect. Obama would never do that.
Exactly. He wanted to destroy the nation. You know, how many times did he get up and put down Christians?
And it's amazing, Steve, because there's so many people like you out there that probably felt so troubled during the last 8 years, seeing what Obama did to the country that you fought for. I honestly, just for myself, but I can't even imagine the relief for somebody like you and the other people like you out there that are just, it's just so relieving to have a president that talks about God, that talks about America, that doesn't want to destroy the country. I mean, it must be such a relief for you.
It is, and it's really disturbing in a way, too, because I see it in my generation that trying to crush Christianity. I see it in my children and now my grandkids. And if we don't stand up and fight, you know, for at least our grandkids, I mean, they're being taught in school that God don't even exist anymore.
And no, you so can't hard. Even teach. Yeah, that's right. You can't even have the Ten Commandments. You can't pray. They want to take God out of the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance. Again, it's all about erasing American culture. America's bad. We need to be more PC and more tolerant of everyone else because America's too good. And it's just like, no, America dominates the Olympics every year. So what? So we just don't compete anymore? We don't send our best? That's ridiculous. Steve, great call. Great call from Steve. Steve, please hang on the line. Hang on the line, Steve. Do not hang up. Hang on the line, Steve. We want to talk to you in the break here. We're gonna send you something. And then when we come back, it's Dennis, it's Eric, it's Paul, it's Thomas. More of your calls here on The War Room.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Welcome back to The War Room. We're going to take your phone calls here. I don't know if you have been following this whole Me Too Weinstein Gate fallout, but this is like this is just crazy. It's hitting every industry now, and I usually don't bring this stuff up, honestly, unless it's political, obviously, because that's the nature of this broadcast. But the reason why I'm calling attention to this is because I just keep seeing it hit like these weird industries. It's just like, Boston Symphony cuts ties with guest conductor Charles Dutoit following sexual misconduct claims. And again, you know, I gave TJ Miller a hard time. I guess he's a comedian or an actor or whatever yesterday because of accusations. And I kind of felt bad afterwards. Like, you know what? I don't want to fall into that trap of falling for accusations without any proof. And then more stories dropped about T.J. Miller today that are just absolutely horrifying. So, but it's just like, I mean, really? What did this Boston, this conductor is? I'm sorry. Again, I just go back to the same question that I had at the get-go for this, and it's just like, where is all of this sexual assault happening? Like, really? It's just not like a conductor. What, every actor in Hollywood too? I mean, what is the $15 million of hush funds in government to cover up sexual assault accusations? I mean, what is the deal? How am I missing this stuff? I don't live a sheltered life. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how much, you know, how do you know? How do you know what's real and what's fake in this environment now? How do you know what's legitimate? And then guys, oh, I accuse him. Yeah, he, oh yeah, 10 years ago, I saw him at a bar. I think he looked at me. He may have been looking at this other girl, but I felt assaulted. Well, we got to cut ties with you, sir. Sorry. You asked a woman for her phone number 10 years ago at a bar, and she felt bad about it, and she's going public. So we got to fire you. And so now people's lives are being ruined over accusations. Well, you did have the accuser of Sylvester Stallone file a police report today. The other guy in that story was actually killed by police. It's just... it's crazy. Meanwhile, this is from the Daily Mail. Hundreds protest in Sweden after police told women to stay inside or walk in pairs. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not safe. Well, it should be safe. You thought, you know, all these Muslims walk around. Apparently it's not. After a series of violent gang rapes of teenage girls. Well, yeah, I mean, the rape, you know, you look at the charts in Sweden. You look at the graphs, and rape is just skyrocketing. It's like whoop, just like thousands of percentages just going up. And you put that chart right next to the same chart with the same time period of refugee resettlements and the open border policies just bringing in all these migrants from the Middle East. Oh, and they line up perfectly. Huh. But you know, it's just gang rape. What's the big deal? What's the big deal of a bunch of radical... they're not even radical. What's the big deal if a bunch of third world, you know, wash-ups go to Sweden and then just gang rape all the beautiful women there? Sweden just thinks that's fine. Three gang rapes in less than a month have taken place in Malmo, Sweden. Did you hear what I just said? Did anyone just hear what I said? I honestly, some days I don't even believe this world. Three gang rapes in less than a month have taken place in Malmo, Sweden. So now the police are telling women they're not allowed to go outside or they have to walk in pairs because the loving migrants have made Sweden such a dangerous place. But think about this dynamic. You have a rape epidemic happening in Sweden right now, folks. It is off the charts, okay? And they don't even talk about it. They don't even talk about it. They don't even address it. They just say, don't go out. They don't try to stop the reason. They don't try to identify the causes. But listen to this twist. Boston Symphony cuts ties with guest conductor Charles Dutoit following sexual misconduct claims. So a man gets accused of sexual misconduct, possibly, you know, maybe not even touching involved, just an accusation. Everyone who gets accused is a huge story now in the media. Anyone that gets accused, you know, Franken, all of them, Halperin, Charlie Rose, Chris Matthews. I mean, the list goes on and on. All these claims, these are the big stories. We need to do something about this. The Me Too movement gets person of the year. Me Too movement gets person of the year because of accusations. Because of accusations. Meanwhile, in Sweden, three gang rapes in less than a month take place in Malmo. Silence. Nothing. Gang rape? Sure. Let the gang rape happen. Let the migrants in. Don't be so intolerant. Don't be so insensitive. Gang rape in Sweden, whatever. Oh, but a bunch of women led by Ashley Judd, a self-proclaimed nasty woman, make accusations that are decades old, and it's the biggest story of the year. They are the heroes. Meanwhile, in Sweden, you know, if you're a woman, you're likely to get gang raped out on the street. Sounds great. Okay. Meanwhile. Oh, and by the way, you also had this report come out from, I think this was out of the Weekly Standard. Yeah. College women are far less likely to be raped than their working class counterparts, or than a woman in Sweden, if you really wanted to go there. But, oh, that old liberal narrative of the campus rape culture completely fails, just like every other liberal talking point. Oh, yeah. Iraqi refugee sentenced for trying to help ISIS. An Iraqi refugee living in Houston was sentenced Monday to 16 years in federal prison for attempting to aid the Islamic State. And how much do you want to bet? Oh, there it is. Saeed Al-Hardin entered the U.S. as a refugee in 2009 and then wanted to join ISIS and attack people in the United States. Great policies that you got there, Democrats. All right, let's take a quick call. Dennis, I'm sorry. I was monologuing. You got 60 seconds. Dennis, go ahead.
We're going to go ahead and fast forward that. If the third black body dropped in Chicago off this UN invasion, it's going to be trouble, going to be serious trouble. And as far as what you're saying about what you're monologuing about, there is and only one culture in Hollywood. Dave Chappelle pointed that totally out. And I want to keep doing a great job, brother.
Well, hey, man, I know that you're calling in from Chicago. There is some more news coming out about Chicago. Apparently, police did some raid in some secret investigation of some social network. I don't know if you are familiar with that, but I think Matt Dubiel is going to be on the show tomorrow to talk about that. God bless you, Dennis. Merry Christmas to Dennis. And I love the city of Chicago. I'm from St. Louis. We have a close-knit relationship, so I hope that Chicago comes out of this, because Chicago is really a great American city. It's sad that they get run by gangsters so much, the likes of Obama and Rahm Emanuel. All right, when we come back, though, I'm going to get back to the phone lines. We're going to knock these calls out. Paul, Eric, Thomas, don't go anywhere.
Is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
If you were with me in the first hour, you know that I covered the story from the Washington Examiner today. Year one list, 81 major Trump achievements, 11 Obama Hezbollah legacy items repealed. I didn't even get through like 25%, like not even close to half of these before I ran out of time in the 10-minute segment. But the point is that Trump is just having ultimate victories and achieving so much of his agenda despite all of the pushback against him. But a list that I think I can get through here, it may be tough, and that's the list of half-off products right now at InfoWarsStore.com. You make everything possible at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off. Listen to this. Super Male Vitality, Brain Force Plus, Alpha Power, Cell Force, Survival Shield X2, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, The Real Red Pill, Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste and Mouthwash, Secret 12 Vitamin B12, and then the all of the InfoWars Life Select storable products, 50% off. Not to mention free shipping store-wide. Free shipping store-wide. But when you go to InfoWarsStore.com, be sure to check out everything we have. The store is huge now. We've got different departments on there now. Water filtration, air filtration, all kinds of gear, shirts, hats, winter hats. We got toothpaste, toothbrushes, I mean, home products, shampoos, bug sprays, deodorants. So shop with the good guy. These are household items that you need. Shop with the good guy. Keep us expanding to the next level. And you know that when you support Alex, he pays it forward and goes even harder in the InfoWar. So you make everything possible at InfoWarsStore.com. Huge specials right now for Christmas. Be sure to take advantage of all the Christmas specials. Merry Christmas to you and your loved ones from InfoWarsStore.com. Let's get back to the phone lines. I asked the callers to please make it quick. I want to get in as many callers as possible. Let's start with Elena, who is holding over a comment that she had from yesterday. Go ahead, Elena.
Hey, Yes. Hi, Owen. Thank you. I was commenting on the gentleman who called in about from local people. I teach in public school in Harlem, New York City, and I just think it would be great to have people coming on so that we can voice, you know, our perceptions. There's so much to share and talk about it.
Now, what are you seeing as a public school teacher, though, in the youth? I don't know what age you teach, but what age do you teach, and what are they feeling right now about this all this political madness?
Pre-K through 8, I can't mention the president.
Oh, okay.
I got in big trouble when I felt that Thanksgiving should have been represented as a national holiday, other than a day when all countries of the world celebrate Thanksgiving.
So you're telling me that the public schools in New York don't want to celebrate Thanksgiving? Is that what you're reporting right now?
I'm just saying my experience was when I had gone and it made mention when it was announced over the loudspeaker that Thanksgiving was the day where all countries celebrate Thanksgiving. I went in and I said no. And I got in big trouble.
Wait. I'm sorry. They said all countries celebrate Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's a day when all countries celebrate, give thanks. And I went right in. Yeah. I'm dealing with that now. And then,
wow. Well, I'm not surprised that that's the kind of nonsense that you're dealing with at a New York public school, but that's like beyond liberal propaganda. That's just downright ignorance. Yeah. I'm sorry, Elena. Thank you for the call. I got to move on, though. Let's go to Paul in North Carolina. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Owen, big fan of the show. Love you guys. Called in before. Combat veteran. My son takes Brain Force every single day, 16 years old. He's doing amazing in school. They diagnosed him with ADHD. I don't want him on methamphetamines that the pharmaceuticals want to give him. I give him the Brain Force, and he's doing awesome. He's doing better than he ever did before.
Whenever I open up the phone lines like this, we almost routinely on the dais get a caller who calls in and talks about their child that had ADHD that they tried to shove the big pharmaceuticals down their throat, and instead they gave them Brain Force and found amazing results. What a testimony.
It's amazing. He is doing amazing in school. He's passing every single grade. Okay?
Well, Godspeed awesome. For him. God bless you.
And God bless you, and Merry Christmas, and thank you for everything. The thing I wanted to call about was, wasn't it interesting that after the tax reform was passed yesterday, that the liberal mental patients went and took down one of our statues in Tennessee. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I saw that.
What do you think of that? Is this going
well,
to be
you know, I mean, they've been ripping down these statues for more than a year now. They kind of lost its momentum. But yeah, I mean, this is just something the liberals are doing. They're triggered by these statues. Did they use the tax thing as a distraction so that people didn't go show up and protest? I don't know, maybe, but the story is the same. They want to erase our history. They can't even handle a fact, and they're literally triggered over a statue. I mean, it's quite amazing. Thank you for the call, Paul. Let's go to Eric calling in from Florida. Go ahead, Eric. You are on the air.
Alan, can you hear me okay?
Sure thing. Go ahead, buddy.
All right, man. Come Monday, have a merry, merry Christmas to you and the crew, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment. Kind of goes off on tangents as I listen. But Chicago used to be a world-class city. Anyways, to go back to where I was getting this, you know, sue the people that represent you. I've thought of this years ago when they make claims and they say, you know, put it in writing if you remember those debates and all this and all that kind of stuff. Do you see any legal recourse that people can have if they donate money to, say, Hillary Clinton?
Well, there actually is a case. There's a case that we could look at as an example, and that's the lawsuit that you had Jared Beck representing where they were Bernie Sanders supporters were suing the DNC and you know, for being stolen, for not giving Bernie Sanders a chance. All these people that donated to the Sanders campaign for nothing. He never actually ran. It was a fake campaign. It was a straw man campaign. It was a setup. It was a rig job. So they sued and it got nowhere. So you should be able to, but unfortunately the precedent, I guess you could say, has been set in that. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Thomas calling in from Utah. Go ahead, Thomas. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, a couple of months ago, I met with Roger Stone. I opened up an issue that fits right in with what you're talking about, and that is the sheltering of the undocumented. I had a family contact me with a deathly ill baby, come to find out that I ended up poking a stick into that whole hornet's nest of the housing of the undocumented when I realized that the manufactured housing industry presented a problem not only to the illegals, but to the 26 million legals. So, Owen, I'm asking you, begging you, quite frankly, to go to a website called HUDHell.com.
What is it one more time? What is it one more time?
HUDHell, HUDHELL.com or .us, either one works. And you'll be blown away when you find out that the government is willing to injure legal people simply to cover up their...
Oh, yeah, it's insane. Look at the sanctuary cities. Look what happened in the Kate Steinle trial. We had the veteran call in earlier saying these undocumented illegal immigrants get better treatment than us. It's just an absolute fact. People in jail get better treatment. This terrorist up in New York gets to have his halal meal. He gets more treatment than a veteran gets. It's sick. All right, final call. Megan, you're going to close us out this segment. You got 50 seconds. Go ahead, Megan in Wisconsin.
Hi. I asked earlier to whoever was on or whoever answered if anyone had discussed the new executive order that was issued from the
White House. Go ahead and enlighten us.
Executive order blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse or corruption. Basically confiscating all property, assets, everything for people.
So like kind of like another civil assets forfeiture type of thing?
But it's specifically targeted to people involved in human trafficking.
You think this is an angle here to take down the human trafficking rings?
That's why I think that Trump did not want to mess with Sessions on the civil asset forfeiture stuff. I think that this was the plan all along.
Okay. Megan might be onto something here. Very interesting. Executive order. Pull that back up, guys. All right, I got to go to break. You stay classy, Info Warriors.
In the wake of recent mass shootings in Las Vegas and Texas, politicians and the liberal media are once again calling for strict gun control legislation. InfoWars met up with Cody Wilson, founder of Defense Distributed, to see why their home CNC mill, the Ghost Gunner, makes gun bans not only a violation of our Second Amendment rights, but a technical impossibility.
Out first, and I think they always congratulate themselves for how smart they think they are, right? So like, no, we'll shape the narrative. We'll come out first, we'll shape the narrative. It'll be about the features of this gun in this shooting. Mm-hmm. Okay, it'll be about the bump stock. Well, that, yeah, like David Frum wrote this piece, said, okay, sure, we're limiting the gun control conversation every time to what the particular details are of each shooting. That's not smart. They're going to give up bump stocks today, and then 6 months from now, it'll be another accessory. Worst case scenario, ATF will set up a new framework to regulate features on guns. That modify their what? Rate of fire or modify that, you know?
Yeah, are we going to ban 100-round magazines?
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, magazines are clearly next. And mm-hmm. I agree with GOA's position that, like, no, this is a setup for mag bans. It did seem to suggest a lead to accessory bans. I'm glad the NRA's backed off. But, like, you know, they always feel the need to have to offer something in a moment. Like Sandy Hook, they were willing to throw down or lay down on background checks and all these other things. That's not arguing from a position of strength.
No, and if you're willing to start compromising on these things,
you
will never, I mean, when's the time that we got something back other than, you know, the assault weapons ban sunsetting?
Oh, right, yeah. They just
Which is the way.
And we were lucky.
Typically, we don't get rights back that we give away.
Right. Even there's this small bill, the Undetectable Firearms Act. They renew it every 10 years. It's a nothing law right now, but they all understand this one affects 3D printing and stuff. That's never going to expire. Any new regulation, you should never count on expiring. But my second biggest gripe, if it's not the NRA shaping the narrative, is these are Republicans in power at a point of power that they've rarely had, and they're the ones sponsoring the gun control bills. Like, you know, 2018's around the corner. No one's really happy with the Republican leadership. Why? Why throw the guns down? You're in a position of power, right? And then just like warring with the president and these are...
It's something that matters to their base. They're not going to win anyone over
If Donald Trump came out tomorrow and said, you know what, any statement harder than what he said, and said, yeah, let's ban X, okay, that's the bottom falling out of this thing, okay? You're flirting with the bottom of this thing falling out. You are in a position of strength. Your base believes in, like, two things, okay? Don't mess with their guns, and don't mess with, like, religious liberties, and you know what right. I mean? Those are, like, sacrosanct. And yet they're willing to just, oh, here, we'll sponsor a bill, we'll show that, you know, we sympathize. This is not politics.
And gun bans are obviously not only ineffective in stopping crime, but at this point, what you're doing with Defense Distributed, you've moved past the point where gun bans can be a thing.
So, like, irony of ironies, right? The day we put out this update that now, you know, this, the most popular handgun of all time, can be machined from a tiny device in your kitchen with no numbers. This Vegas thing happens and everyone wants to talk about gun control. Look, I mean, my announcement was, look, we're pretty sure gun control is now finished. I mean, technically right. finished. When you can have this, when you possess this and the ability to make this to machine standards, the most popular handgun of all time, this changes American gun politics in a more substantial way than any kind of, I don't know, flap about, you know, the features of some novelty device on a rifle ever could.
Right, and, you know, with your larger CNC here in the shop, you yeah. could manufacture some large belt-fed machine gun.
Well, of course. So anyone can always reindustrialize, like, start
you've
a machine
got the tools.
Shop. But, like, I know that, you know, Mr. G.I. Joe or whatever, you're not going to buy a machine shop. But you might buy a tiny rifle or pistol machine. You might put it in your garage, and who's going to know the wiser?
So we've moved past this point. You were also showing me the Glock over here.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we announced these two, I don't know how to arrange it. So I don't want to shoot your camera guy either. But when we announced these updates, we wanted to suggest it's not just, okay, one addition. We're talking about the whole harvest here. The ambition and the precision of where the machine is now suggests the entire range of aluminum and polymer frame handguns. I mean, we're talking SIGs, we're talking obviously Glock clones and other types of builds. This is everything you could want. And it's in a package now and in a place of ease and affordability to where I legitimately think this is a new category of ownership of firearms. This is a permanent change of American gun politics leading to something like a sea change. It's just you don't know it yet. You don't know how easy it is now. I mean, we've been working on this for years. Even I am shocked at where this is now, how easy this is now.
Yeah, you're not just getting your hands on the guns, you're getting your hands on the means to make firearms yourself.
It's exactly the thing that you might otherwise go buy, like Kimber's making aluminum frame 1911s and stuff. This isn't even, a few years ago, maybe this is controversial to make an aluminum frame 1911. Now this is a new category of gun. It's no longer an heirloom gun or a race gun. It's a cheap, quality 1911 that can run for thousands and thousands of rounds. What else do you want?
Right. You know, and you can always machine another one.
What else is there? Yeah, like Defense Distributed has done things like, oh, you 3D printed a plastic pistol, you know, so what? Well, it's suggestive of what these techniques and technologies were bringing to us. I think this is a major milestone in the change in the new generation of American gun politics. Quality, precision grade, two spec, two blueprint, 1911 handguns, Glock handguns, soon SIG frames, 1022s, right? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And you've got the capability there to customize things, clone build things, engrave things, skeletonize things. You've got a little piece of power in your hands here to afford you some dignity, to afford you some individual sovereignty. This is more than symbolic stuff we're talking about. This is the real thing in your hand, you know, today, if you want it.
And this is, you know, a long way from the Liberator, but the whole point of that wasn't that it was a practical, you know, pistol. Oh, print one of these, and
I've got an old Liberator body in my bookshelf. I should bring it out. But yeah, the Liberator was suggesting we thought the internet was going to serve guns, serve gun files, going to give you techniques and ways to make gun files for yourself, to actually manufacture things that you didn't have to on a $1 million Swiss machine or something, you know, or buy an ammunition factory. No. It's going to be small batch homebrew stuff, but you're going to be able to do things with much more accuracy and speed than you had ever considered. So here's a Liberator, an old Liberator body. You know, it looks strange and accidental and, you know, like a second thought. A lot of our shapes at the time we learned from AR lowers and stuff. Anyway, the point was, even with the most rudimentary 3D techniques of the day, we could get to a pistol, and now, for the rest of time, all these techniques are going to yield better and better equipment. And
this is not going away.
It's yeah. permanent. It's
right.
Permanent is for all time. And I guess that's like the lingering attitude here. I mean, this is for all time. Okay? This isn't just a party trick. Okay?
Like it's, it's not a couple shots. It's, you know, that's a
this is the thing.
Handgun.
This
yeah.
is the thing. There isn't, you know, like, well, one day, no, I mean, you're here, you know, in a very substantial way in milling. Like, you're here. And we're just trying to give it a nice, you know, you saw the video and everything. We're trying to announce it with a little bit of panache, I guess. But other events are distractions. Other conversations on the Hill are distractions. Oh, we can ban this. We can fiddle with that. You know, the technocratic administrative state can say, like, oh, you know, these features. I don't know. The whole frame is exploded. Look, Michael Bloomberg has announced basically his entire fortune will, in a substantial part, be donated to the cause of gun control for the next few generations. I mean, gun control is now funded, as far as the eye can see, as far as we can plan and predict. That side is funded. We know what it wants. It's not. It doesn't want to stop. It doesn't want to say, okay, no, we got to 7-round magazines. That's good. That's common sense gun control. That's something that, you know, every town believes in. No, no, no. They want it all. They want it at the state level. They want it at the federal level. They want to, when I hand you this handgun right here, take it. They want that to be paperwork. They want there to be paperwork every single time I hand the damn thing off. I'm not going to be able to pass certain types of weapons to my children. And then they think they can micromanage every single feature. Just like look at California's handgun registry. No new handguns added to that safe registry since 2005, I'm told. Okay? They want to slowly, by 1,000 cuts, suffocate one of the greatest gun cultures of all time, which is ours, an Anglo-American tradition, which is part and parcel of the liberties that we enjoy. The second enshrined protection against federal government power in our Bill of Rights. They want it all. The only way to defeat that is not with voice, is not with electing a pro-gun Congress. You might get that. You got it right now in some part. The only way to defeat it is to technically, actually defeat it. It is the easiest thing in the world to make this, to find surplus parts for this. They're bringing them in from Korea now, right? Obama tried to forestall it for years. It is the easiest thing in the world to do this. And when you can make it technically easy, when you can make it, just like Bastiat said, right? Like, when something is easy to be done, to criminalize it is to create the conditions for conflict. You must make it very, very difficult for them to get in between you and your culture. So a very important thing is not just buying guns like the NRA represents or these other entities, but making them. And when it's to the point where you just know, in the back of your head, you just know the internet serves gun files, I can download guns, I can make guns, it pushes them off some of the things they think they can do. It's just a fact now, you know, 10 years from now, people can download and make guns. It's just a fact. It makes it much, much harder for them to achieve their ambitions, which are multi-generational. And in their minds right now, just something that they're on the cusp of achieving. You have to destroy that for them actually and prevent them from thinking that they can have that form of control. This is what this type of work does and what my company has done for many years and will continue to do.